business is a team sport. I think people often forget this. They always look at Elon Musk. Elon Musk delivers nothing. His team delivers everything. Buy one. You then have customers, you have revenue, you have money. Implement this strategy and wipe all of your competition out. When you sell a company, you crystallize the value of your shares and you become, you know, you're sitting in cash.
How are you? How's your family? Things good?
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, alive and kicking. All well.
Good, good, good. Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you very much, especially in I met you in person.
Yeah, good. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I want to tell you, you are the one of the people already changed my perspective in the investment industry, specifically when I read your two books.
Ah, cool. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So you changed my perspective, especially in acquisition side. Try to learn more about when you start, about specifically your journey when you start and what you're doing now, what in the future of CRE. We can give the perspective, and also we learn more about your mindset, how you can come from the beginning that you start and you can go from there.
Yeah, and who's typically your audience? What kind of people are listening?
Yeah, well, most of my audience, the investor, and also most of them senior, junior, already interested in investing. And also so for me, like what I was my approach, especially when like I am the athlete. So here also I give them the perspective what they will do after when they retire.
Right, yes.
What they can do. They cannot do the wrong way. And also at least we have, at least we give them not the secret, at least the advantage. If they are interested, let's say, in the sport, why not to buy something in sport? Not done, build something from the ground zero. Will take you long term. So at least if you buy something, at least you jump 50%.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I guess, you know, to start at the beginning, I grew up in the UK, in the rural part of the UK, out in the countryside on a farm. You know, I used to buy and sell things to make pocket money. And so this was really the start of my kind of entrepreneurial journey. I didn't want to work on the smelly farm feeding the animals for pocket money. So I sold stuff at school instead. And so this was really my beginning, and left school early. I didn't finish all of my school and started a business buying and selling stock that I sold to other market traders and various people. That business didn't work out. As you know, many people will find when they start a business, it's very hard. It looks very easy from the outside, and especially when you have the energy of a child, where everything looks simple, and you wonder why everyone else is so dumb. You know, so you start to do it, and you realize, actually, this is really difficult. So that didn't work out. But I got into the telecoms industry when I was about 19, 20. And this was in the mid-1990s. And in the mid-1990s was just when mobile phones were getting really small. And a lot of the regular telecommunications, the old-fashioned phones, were being deregulated. So they historically were owned by governments and controlled by governments, and they were being privatized and deregulated. And that created a huge surge in investment and technical kind of evolution. So I found myself more or less by accident, but in a very dynamic, fast-growing industry. So it was hard not to make money during this period because everybody was adopting, you know, everyone you met. If you went on a bus, half the people on the bus had a phone, half the people on the bus wanted a phone. It was it was like this. So it was an interesting business to be in. Having done a few different startup businesses at this time, I kind of knew how to do sales, how to do marketing, how to manage people to try and get more out of my own time resource, because we only have a certain amount of time, so you need to have other people around you. Business is a team sport. I think people often forget this. They always look at Elon Musk. Elon Musk delivers nothing. His team delivers everything. But what he's great at is inspiring and motivating and managing and psyching at team. And that's such an important part of entrepreneurship. And so I thought these were the things I can control. When I have my telecoms company, telecoms companies often grow by buying other telecoms companies. They use mergers and acquisitions as part of their growth strategy. Now, for me, I never thought about this because I don't know how, then I didn't know how to do it. You know, how would you go about even buying a company? Well, that sounds like an an alien idea, you know. Secondly, how do you pay for it? I don't have any money, and you know, the banks won't give me any money. So how you actually you know, do the transaction? And then what I realized when I met all these other companies that were trying to buy me is they didn't know what they were doing either, and they didn't have any money either, you know. So the only difference was they were sitting on that side of the desk and I was sitting on this side of the desk. And so I thought, yeah, I need to be on the other side. So I basically changed my presentation. So instead of looking for people who wanted to buy mobile phones, I started looking for people that had mobile phone companies, fixed line phone companies, or IT services companies, because IT and telecoms were very closely, still are very closely related. Yeah, just started looking for the business owners instead of customers for my product. And this had a huge impact on my business, not only because I became more interesting in meetings. So I actually got more sales as a result of not looking for the sales. So it's funny, if you're like a shark, like a hunter, people try and stay out of your way, you know? But when you talk about buying other businesses, they think, fuck, this guy, he's like 20 and he's talking about buying businesses. I need to know this guy, you know? And so they come and talk to you. And then they get their mobile phones from you. So actually, it kind of increased my sales by accident. And I found a company. It was a little bit distressed, but it was another mobile phone business. And I bought this company. I didn't have to put any cash into the deal. It was a no money down transaction. And this transaction grew my sales by effectively what we would have done in a normal year. But we did it in one afternoon. So we suddenly took one big step up. And normally, to grow my sales in this way, you have to invest a lot in marketing, then you have to hire some salespeople, then those salespeople have to hit their targets, which is 50-50, you know, in order to get there. But this, I hadn't taken the financial risk. I had grown by this year's worth of sales, and it was, it appeared very predictable. And so this was a huge epiphany for me that you didn't have to run the whole marathon. You just run the last 10 meters, you still get a medal. Why are we doing this big long run? We can just do the last bit. Let's just do the last bit. Yeah.
No, actually just, and also part of that, you mentioned part of your chapter, you mentioned where you will be. You'll be on the front line or the back end, especially from, especially example, if you are personality person, you must like outgoing marketing and everything safe. You must be upfront. You're looking just to buy the business and keep the operation side to other people to do it.
Yeah.
So it's much easier.
Yeah. I think entrepreneurs feel like they have to do something to add some value, to feel like they're involved, you know, and actually sometimes that's not a good idea. It's, you know, there's this old adage of it's better to work on the business instead of in the business. So the way that I clarify that is that the business owner, the shareholder, should basically be focused on the strategic goals of the company. And then the employees inside the company should be dealing with everything else. And so the best way to focus on the strategic goals for the company, apart from, you know, setting the vision and everything for what the company is going to do, but you should focus on the things that will have a really big impact on that company. And those are things like joint ventures. So joint ventures where you partner up with another brand and you leverage their clients, their expertise in order to get more customers. Or mergers where you merge with another company that brings you talent or additional products or additional customers. Acquisitions where you just buy whole businesses and integrate their customers into your portfolio. And exits. You should always be thinking about an exit, because an exit for a company is where you create a capital event. And it's the capital event that creates the wealth. And, you know, we talked a lot about investment, you know, smart ways to manage money and manage investments, and exits are a great way of creating the capital events. But then that capital you shouldn't put into small businesses. Small businesses are volatile assets. They, you know, lots of people are raising money for startups and for growth stories. This is gambling. By all means, if it's something that excites you, do a bit of it. It's like crypto. Have some crypto in your portfolio. Have some small businesses in your portfolio. But 90% of what you do should not be that. 90% should be stuff that makes your grandfather bored when you talk about it. So it's going to be the most boring stuff you can think of.
And part of that already, I know you have the international, the Harvard Club. You teach the audience already who will be part specifically in this strategy. I think you run around a couple events. You do it in UK, in Singapore. Where was the base already in UK?
So it's a global organization. So we have the main training event is a 3-day event, and we do those online, so people can come and join. It's a live like this live event where I'm answering their questions and going through stuff and everything, but it's virtual, so you're sitting at your computer. We then do live in person events. We have one in London in April. We have one in Miami in September in the US. And then we have something called Deal Fest. And Deal Fest is where all the members get together and share deals. They talk about what went right, what went wrong, going through examples of deals that they've done. So we have the last two have been in Dubai. We have some one-day Deal Fests coming up in the UK this year. So we have Manchester, Leeds, Bristol, London. I think London's already sold out. I think Manchester might be sold out as well. So we've probably got Leeds and Bristol. Where you can come along to these one-day events and listen to deals and ask questions to people that are doing deals. But yeah, the Harbor Club is a great community. I think it's the largest community of mergers and acquisitions professionals in the world now. We have our own app, we have our own live events, and it's a great way to not only learn the information, because there's a lot of theory. You deal with a lot of sports people. You know, you imagine if you publish books and run training courses on how to play football, this is fine, you know, this is great, but you need to kick a ball around, really, to learn how to play football. Yeah, this is the thing. We teach them how to buy and sell companies, but they're going to learn from buying and selling companies, you know, so the community helps people kind of drag them through the process and understand it from the inside out. So the education is theoretical, the community is practical, it's the application of.
Yeah, and also I noticed that most examples that people already there in the seminar or already was learning mastermind or iterating book, they're thinking when you reading the book already this the enough. It's not enough. This only the information, the education part. The real things when you go to the market to implement what you learn. This something is huge things when you. And for myself, how I can implement that strategy, anything I learn or I read something in the book, I say, okay, I have now at least two philosophy or two method I need to implement it to my business. When I implement it, it's done. Just stuck in my mind. Now it's just part of my philosophy. You need to practice what you read. If you're not practice it, you will read 100 books, you will not do nothing.
Yeah, this is really good advice, actually, because I think too many people get stuck in the shelf development instead of the self development. So they're reading all the books, but they're not doing any immediate activity. And it's better to, read one book 3 or 4 times and implement what it says than to read 100 books and just keep piling them up on the shelf saying, oh, I'm getting better. I'm improving myself. It's kind of like these people. I meet people sometimes and they go, oh, I've got 20 years experience as an engineer. And you go, well, have you really, or have you got 1 year's experience 20 times over, you know, because people reach a certain level and then they just do the same thing again and again and again and again, and they don't push to the next level. And I think buying companies is the next level of entrepreneurship. So like when you have the L on the back of the car, you know, learner, this is startup. When you're doing a startup, everything is new. You're learning, you're figuring stuff out. Once you've done startup and you know how to do startup, next thing I think is buying a business. Because you get rid of all of that 3 years of pain that you have in a startup, you have something ready to go.
Correct. And also when you just buy in business, you don't care any if you are any industry, because the product will all have been same. You see that track record, the balance sheet, and you evaluate the business. That's it. You don't care about the industry.
I get people all the time that say, but my idea is so good. It's going to revolutionize this industry. I had one yesterday, which is somebody that has an innovation in the recruitment space, and it's going to, you know, potentially wipe out one whole group of recruitment companies that all operate in a very specific sector. And they want to raise a load of money so that they can go and do a startup to go and disrupt this industry. And I said, why not just buy one of the recruiting companies that you're going to kill? Buy one. You then have customers, you have revenue, you have money. Implement this strategy and wipe all of your competition out. And they're like, oh, yeah. It's... It's a much better plan. You take on an investor, you end up with a partner who's telling you what to do, that owns shares in your business, that
You go buy a company, it's yours. You do what you want with it.
And also, example, I know there are some struggle with the entrepreneur. There are some people that don't like to, let's say, front side. Let's say, guy go buy and do some merger acquisition. Yes, stay in the back end, but same time, you must partner with some individual who will go in front. You will go to buy the company.
Yeah, you can either do it yourself or you can partner with other people. I mean, again, inside the Harbor Club community, we have a lot of joint ventures going on where perhaps one person has deal flow. You know, they can identify the companies very easily. They have a network, but they don't really know how to do the deal structure or how to close the deal, or they're not confident they can do it. They can learn this stuff. They're not confident. So they just partner up with somebody else. And one person does one job and the other person does the other.
Now, collaboration, like example, teamwork in the football. You cannot score and defend at the same time. So everybody will be playing in his position and his strength. This will be for you more strength in the business side, in the operation side, in the growing.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like I say, it's a team sport.
It's team sport. And also, example, some entrepreneur, example, if you will go to buy some business, at least the management in the place. Because if you run the business day-to-day basis, you cannot grow. You must find the company already have the management in the place. Just buy it and let the management do it themselves and go. Next day, go to find another business to buy. That's it. This will be your role.
Yeah, absolutely. And also remember, you don't make money running businesses. You make money when you sell them. So the goal is to create shareholder value and to sell the business. Lots of people think, well, I'm just going to buy it. I'm going to take some money out every month and everything will be fine. Well, this doesn't last forever. Business is very dynamic. It's always changing. Competition is always changing. The way you market to customers is always changing. You know, when I had my telecoms company, we used to send people faxes to get customers, you know? So imagine if we carried on doing that today, it's just like not going to work, you know? So you're always having to adapt and change how you do things. But when you sell a company, you crystallize the value of your shares and you become, you know, you're sitting in cash. And then when you're sitting in cash, you can deploy that cash and generate income from assets on a passive basis instead of having to be actively involved in order to create that income stream.
And correct. And the second thing is the second book, I wrote, The Glamorous. Specifically with the private company, they are struggling to raise the money from the public, and they are private. And here I like the concept to why not every private company enjoy together. After we can go to their stock market to raise money. Can you just give me a brief about it? Collaborate specifically about the concept.
Yeah, it was a really simple observation, which is that most businesses are small. Like by far and away, most companies are small. And most people work in small companies. The statistics, if you look at a mature economy like the US or the UK, 90% of people, 90% of the private sector workforce, so if they don't work for the government, 90% of the private sector workforce work in companies with less than 50 employees. So pretty much everybody is in a small business. You know, if you fill a room with 100 people, only 10 work for a multinational and the rest all work for a small business. And then if you look at where all the money in the world is, so the top 500 asset managers in the world control $100 trillion. So this is like your BlackRock's, your sovereign wealth funds, your churches, they have $100 trillion under management. They allocate zero to small business. So nothing. They have a bigger allocation to Bitcoin than they do to small business. So the system is kind of broken. Everybody works for a small business, but none of the money goes into small business. And so when you look at that, you ask the question, why is that? Well, what's happened is the financial services sector, that financial services industry, has created perfect investment products. They've created derivatives. And derivatives basically are liquid, which means people can buy and sell them very easily. They're scalable, so you can deploy trillions of dollars into them. In fact, the derivatives market is now 10 times bigger than the whole global economy. It's huge, just the derivatives market. And they have risk management. You can understand the underlying assets and you can take a judgment on the risk. Sometimes they get that wrong, like the credit default swaps in 2009, but generally it's pretty trustworthy. And so what that means is that when these institutions have more money, they just go into more derivatives, because to invest in small businesses are not liquid. They don't have scale, and they're very risky, and so they don't fit the criteria for investment. So all the money just keeps ballooning in these synthetic products, these not real products, and not coming into the real economy. And so what we want to do is unlock that capital and get it into small business. And small business is a much better place to invest, you know, from an ethical standpoint. You know, synthetic financial products are, you know, haram. It's money games. You know, it's not real. A small business employs people. It delivers services. It delivers goods. It's doing good for humanity. It's a good idea. So, yeah, if we can solve this problem, we're solving a big problem, because it parachutes money into the real economy instead of this synthetic economy that exists. And so, what we do is we create portfolios of small businesses that sit under a public company. And so the public company provides the liquidity, the portfolio reduces the risk, and collective creates the scale. Now, the problem that we have with this, we've done this quite a bit. We've taken over 100 companies public in the last 10 years. The problem we have with this is that until you become a big public company, you're not going to be able to attract that institutional capital. And in the intervening time, you're what's called a small cap stock, a small public company, basically. And these small public companies are very volatile. The share price can go up and down, you know, 50% in a day. It's, for an investor, it's quite a scary place to be. So we created a product, we call it IPIN, and it's a preference share in our profits. But basically with IPIN, what we do is we invest in these businesses, we take them public, and then we share the profits with our note holders, and the note holders just get a fixed income every month. So they get 15% a year paid every month, monthly payment, and they don't have to take any of the risk in the small cap. But the idea is that this opens the door for institutional capital to then participate in these small businesses. And then we think this has the best impact and the best return for investors.
And also here would be opportunity for the older generation already who want to liquidate their business. At least they have some monthly profit before that. If he don't want to sell it, at least he have some profit. Because in this sector, very, very difficult, the liquidation, very, very difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas they can come and join a group, receive shares in the public company, and gradually unwind these shares, or even give them to the next generation. So what a lot of people do is they take a company public, they put the public stock into like a family trust or family business, and then the kids run the business that owns the shares instead of running the business that does the work. Which is often better, because the next generation aren't always operators, you know, they're more better suited for the financial planning rather than the operation of the business.
So when the next seminar here will be in Dubai, so the idea has been left?
Yeah, I'll have to wait and see. I think last year we did one in December, and it was really popular. And we're doing London in April, Miami in September, and obviously the summer here is a bit warm to get people to come. So I think every December again, but we don't have anything in the diary yet. So I'll definitely keep you posted.
Yeah, sure. We'll be glad to collaborate and do something together. And finally, where the audience can learn more about the Harbor or your book, I'll put some link there where they can learn more about
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to jeremyharbour.com. I spell Harbour the British way, H-A-R-B-O-U-R, and the Dubai way. The same, like Dubai Harbour, but Jeremy Harbour. So they go to jeremyharbour.com, or for the Harbour Club, they can go to harbourclubevents.com.
Event.
You know, they can follow me on Instagram. So Jeremy Harbour, it's the one with the blue tick. So yeah, so many people copy my account. Basically, if I try and sell you crypto, it's fake.
If you want to pick a button,
it's got a blue tick, and I'm talking about mergers and acquisitions. That's me. It's, if it doesn't have the blue tick and they're trying to sell you crypto, it's someone else.
It's good. Real pleasure to know you, and first know you about your book. Second, know you personally. It would be great to have you here in Dubai and we do something.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. Take care. Bye-bye.